This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
I go back to this, and we talked about it last week a bit, and I'm still not clear. Why does the defense not want to bring Proctor up?
Well, I've been going back and forth with so many people about that all weekend, and essentially, I think Proctor might have a lot to say that he didn't feel comfortable saying as a law enforcement officer, but mm-hmm. now he's a civilian, he's been fired, mm-hmm. and I think he is ready to swing the bat on different things he saw and read. And, you know, once you get them out of your mouth, the judge can tell the jury not to consider it
yeah.
or to strike it, but you can't unhear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were terrified because he knows this case better than anybody.
Yeah.
He's read all the messages. He knows everything that Yannetti said,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I know that's attorney-client privilege, but some of that was waived, as we know, with the ID. That's why they're able to put so much of this on and the attorneys were on. So I think they're terrified about what he's going to say, different conversations were, and that she might have even admitted it on her text strings that she did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're terrified of him as a witness. Now you might ask, well, then why didn't the CW put it on? Well, the CW didn't want to muddy and throw through the gutter, you know, their lead investigator because they would have been able to do it like they did last year. That just made all of us go, ooh, this mm-hmm. guy should have never said those things. So nobody faltered.
Yeah.
They're not going to put him on.
And that's, yeah, I'm just kind of shocked by that. That, to me, I thought that's going to be their case. That's the place where they can get some reasonable doubt, because I know they're trying to find reasonable doubt in some of these things, but I just don't think any of it's landing. I mean, could you say technical doubt, almost kind of like Judson said, well, yes, there could also, her car could be beamed up into space too. That is a possibility. Is it likely? No. But could you say it's a possibility? Anything's possible. It just feels like none of it's landing. But they went for sympathy last time and empathy. Like, how could someone talk like this about this woman who we didn't hear all of her words from yet? So it landed a lot better. She was just the innocent woman standing there that was many people found attractive, and just, oh my goodness. Now we've heard her words. Now we've seen that same person say all that she's had to say in those documentaries and then some. That Proctor looks very different this time around. Not condoning what he said at all, but he doesn't, he seems like he's not quite the demon he was originally.
Right. He's persona non grata.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's kind of heard about Proctor. You know, we know a few messages from Proctor. And Brennan did a nice job of getting out. Listen, he was fired, but not for anything egregious. For instance, you know, not for corruption of the case or for planting evidence, nothing like that. It was regarding these text messages, not even for an improper investigation, nothing like that.
Yeah.
It was the text messages and drinking. He didn't get the drinking part out because his friend just said over and over he was fired because the text messages.
Yeah. I mean, and when you think of this too, I mean, in its totality, if there had been a conspiracy and there was this many people involved in it, there would be evidence. Much respect to everybody in this, but I mean, these are not, you know, the super special CIA agents here who are working, you know, incognito. And these are regular folks who became officers. You know, certainly some have more training than others and more expertise than others. Without a doubt, I'm not in any way trying to play that down. But these are not the folks that are going to pull off a 50-person-plus conspiracy and leave no trace. I mean, all we have here is, well, why didn't they look in the house? That's a fair question. You know, was it a dog bite? Well, upon further explanation and examination, doesn't really look like it. I get how on the surface one may look at some of these things and go, well, let's look at this a little bit further. Well, they didn't investigate that. And that's not great. But it also doesn't mean, and logically mean, that all of this could possibly even work. That's at the end of the day what gets me on the whole damn thing. There's no way in hell, Annie, this would be the best conspiracy in the world if all of these people pulled this thing off to this degree of not leaving a single breadcrumb that is extremely incriminating, because there really isn't. There's a lot of things that look weird, but there's nothing here that says, oh my gosh, here's the big evidence of the conspiracy.
Yeah. So the dog bite, if I would have been part of that defense team, I would have said, do not put on the dog bite. There is no canine DNA.
Yeah,
you just have to close that chapter. You have to close it. You could say that the people who killed him scratched him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could say that the glass he held when they got into the scuffle. I mean, if you're going to keep with the idea that he was killed inside the house, or that he hit something inside the house. But Chloe the dog falls so flat because, again, brick and mortar, no canine DNA.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the people not coming out of the house, they were sound asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, I don't know if you saw when I was at my house in Texas and I was working in the back side of the house, and I just happened to go in the kitchen. I look out my front kitchen window and there's a Tesla SUV. Mm-hmm. There's police cars everywhere. There's a Hummer. What do you call those? A cement truck, not okay. A Hummer,
yeah.
A cement truck. And there's all this activity. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even hear any of this.
Mm-hmm.
I walk outside, and sure enough, this was when the Teslas were being attacked. A cement truck hit a Tesla. And then they had a high-speed chase, which ended at my neighborhood, because we live on the cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
The guy jumps out, jumps the fence. Everyone in this police department was out there. I mean, it was Grand Central Station. Never heard a thing. And I was wide awake, only, you know, a few, whatever yards, probably 30 yards from my kitchen window until I looked out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these guys were sound asleep. They went to bed past 2 to 3 in the morning. And this was now, you know, 6 in the morning. They were sound asleep. And everybody seems to have a problem with that. Even when Jim McCabe went and tried to rouse them and made a call, they didn't hear anything because they were sound asleep.
I get that.
Neither did other neighbors.
I do get that, but that is a weird part to me in all of this, is that the fact that it could initially sound asleep, sure, of course. I'm talking like when you have all the activity in the yard and all this is going on and you are wakened by Jen McCabe. I guess, I don't know, why didn't anybody go out? That's the part I don't get. I don't get why nobody...
They weren't awakened. They were never awakened. They weren't awake. She never got them to wake up. She never got them to answer the door, never got them to answer the phone.
But at
some
point...
So they were never awake.
There's no point that they were awake at the... I mean, this... That was going on well into the morning.
Not until later.
Wow.
They were, I mean, really, it's 6 a.m. and you're out till 2 in the evening. Talks about that, and they were drinking heavily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heavily all day. Remember, he had been at a funeral. Mm-hmm. So he got up early, drove all the way to New York, mm-hmm. went to a funeral, which is exhausting, and somebody you cared about, and drive all the way back in a snowstorm, and then go out and drink all night.
Yeah.
I mean, he was dead to the world, I think. And then actually he talked about in the first trial how after they went to bed, then they had a sexual interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really exhausted, Tony.
You know,
there
is more of a human aspect of it. That's why I wanted to throw that by you, because I throw these questions by everybody where I'm like, this does seem weird on either side. And because I want to hear, well, what's the reasoning behind that? And then sometimes it's like, oh, I can kind of understand that. I've been dead to the world a few times, after an evening like that in some younger years. It's been a while, but I do remember some of that. and I don't want to, but I do. So, yeah, there's that. There's another aspect of this I want to talk about briefly. That's where I'm going. This could be the biggest twist in the whole damn case. And that would be the blogger who's been you know, 1,000%, you know, or more, I would say, at an obsessive level supporting Karen Reed. Now, you know, shit's hitting the fan. And now there's some pretty strong charges that he's very likely going to be going away on. Do you think, is it even a possibility that they would offer him some sort of a plea deal to testify against Karen?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors here. First of all, this trial will conclude before his begins. Now, he has a misdemeanor trial date set up for, I believe it's June 9th, right around the corner here. But that's a misdemeanor on, you know, not staying out of the area of somebody that he had a restraining order, that had a restraining order against him. I mean, he's literally lurking in the bushes and they catch him on video. So he's going to be convicted of that, but that's a misdemeanor. It's these other big felony charges that are daunting. And his attorney, Bradle, I think is finally being pretty candid with him, saying you could go to prison for up to 10 plus years on these. Actually, his exposure is much more than that. I don't think he'd get any more than that. And I think he said it himself. Said, I'm going to have to listen to what they have to say. I want to stay out. But if this is decided and if she's convicted, I don't think the Commonwealth will, or I think the Commonwealth will not budge. They want to see him go to prison too for what he's done. But if she's acquitted or if there's a hung jury, could that become more interesting? Then I think it becomes interesting, Tony.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he could, and just think, I mean, there were lots of conversations with Yannetti and Jackson as well. And they never represented him. So what could come out? What all does he know, Tony?
Yeah.
I would love to see it. I hope he snitches them all out. He, to me, is low-hanging fruit. He's a puppet. On their strings. And, you know, I hope he turns the tables on him.
I think it'd be very interesting if he did. I've been kind of surprised by some of the statements that I've seen coming out from him, just kind of been a little bit more in tune with reality than I think most of the people who follow him, of just kind of seeing, I think, some of the writing on the wall. That's my interpretation of how some of the comments that he's made about this of yes, like I'd take a plea deal. I'd figure this out. I'd do what I have to do. If they want me to say this or that, like, oh, like you mean like talk about what in reality is going on here. My conjecture is I think deep down he knows that this is an act that he's put on. He got way too deep in. He could not get out of it. And now this is not going to end well for him. But he's got kids that he's, you know, allegedly cares about, you know, likes to throw them out there as a, you know, woe me thing. But for the sake of the kids, I'm like, I hope he goes away, because that would probably be much better for them in the long term to not have that as a constant factor in your life, as this is how one should live. But on the part of getting, you know, of Karen Reed being convicted, I can only imagine what he would have or what would be on record in any of his devices, or just him testifying as to their strategies on this. What do you think? I mean, I really wonder what he could possibly have, what he could possibly do. And do you think it's a realistic possibility that he could play a part in this specific case, Karen Reed trial 2, not the possible, you know, threequel and the fourquel that could possibly come out of all of this?
I don't think he's going to play a role here, because we're so deep into trial. I mean, really, we're looking at maybe three witnesses that are left, maybe four. I mean, we're really deep, of course, with Alessi becoming the face of the Karen Reed campaign now and Alan Jackson taking such a minor role. Of course, it's extended because Alessi's style is very verbose. And elongated, so everything lasts a lot longer. But this trial is almost over, and I don't think any decisions will be made until this trial is over. But what he can, I think, bring fresh is the bringing her into the conspiracy, and maybe Yannetti and maybe Jackson, into a conspiracy regarding the witness tampering and harassment. Was he directed to do that? Was there a quid pro quo? In other words, the Lexus, which remember the brother worked at a Lexus dealership, was that part of the payment mm-hmm. for what he's doing? And then we all know there was merchandising and other things that they were supposedly splitting, but then he got on record and said, well, we're not splitting anything. I'm getting it all. So he could paint that picture, I think, more clear and be backed up and substantiated by the third party witness, Natalie, who was the go-between for a while, and then directly with Karen Reed, Yannetti, and Jackson. We know there's all these phone calls. And he could also testify to whatever he says was a part of Signal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have Signal records, so he can basically say anything.
That's true.
You know, and so, but I, will it affect this trial? I don't think so. I think that would come in a separate case.
Because it's the gift that keeps on giving. This thing does not end.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.